Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, there are changes ahead. And how big do you think they're going to be? Incremental, maybe something swift and strong. What are we looking forward to? And how are we going to know, even as it happens, what to expect from it? And I'm going to interview a wonderful man for this interview to tell us his story about his search for the future. As we're all searching to keep on top of it as much as we can. And he has a great story to tell about his life and where he thinks we're going and a lot about it. He's really a brilliant man. So I want to introduce Rob Potter to Energy Stew. Rob, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Peter. It's really nice to meet you. We've been chatting for a couple of days and really kind of hit it off. And I mean, I was surprised you look absolutely bright and vivacious. You mentioned you're 80 years old, dude. You're killing it. And wow, you're keeping alive and doing some stuff. So, you know, we have some friends in common and we've had some chats here recently. And I really am simpatico with your mission and information. And so I'll be happy to share anything, anywhere you want to go. And where would you like to begin?
Well, who are you?
My name is Rob Potter. I was born in San Francisco and became a little surfer boy down in Laguna Beach, California, in the OC. Very special time in the 60s on the beach with surfing, the Monkees, the Beatles. You know, they used to come into town, Rolling Stones. Laguna Beach was a spiritual center. A long, long time ago, in the galaxy far away, there's a guy named George Adamski who in the 40s lived in Laguna Beach. He became one of the first contacts. He's the Venusian, which kind of comes and segues into my life.
Slowly, you went through that very quickly. He became what?
He became a contactee of the Venusians in 1952.
Venusians. What are Venusians?
People who live on the planet Venus and who've been our guardian sister world planet.
Okay, so that's going to be new for a lot of the audience. And
we'll share that. We can get into that.
Yeah, because it's really important. Because I remember hearing that of the different planets in our solar system, Venus is the friendliest place.
It's a highest manifestation of love on the physical plane. There are, you know, there are 420 moons in our solar system. So there's a lot of life on all of them. There's outposts and various races and so forth. That's a little bit later in my story. But as a young man, I met a guy named Fred Bell. And when I was in high school, I was into pyramids. And a girl goes, "Oh, I know the pyramid man." And I go, "The pyramid man? Really? Tell me about it." So I go up to his house. And he did have pyramids all over the place. And he wasn't there. I met his girlfriend that came in. And he was a very unique, kind of a Renaissance man character. He studied the shockwave of the atomic bomb at the age of 15. His great uncle invented the telephone. His father invented the alternator and the transmission for Henry Ford. Fred Bell, born in 1943, was being bounced on the lap of Bob McCulloch and Bob Johnson of the engines of the boats. And Henry Ford was definitely trying to build a hemp car, and they outlawed hemp because of it. And Henry Ford kept growing hemp, and he made a hemp car built out of pressed fiber. The whole thing was hemp except for the engine. And so Fred was aware of the kind of the deep state cover up from an early age, the age of 15, studying the shockwave of the atomic bomb. He was conscripted in the Air Force at 16, which is illegal, right before his 17th birthday. And he became a PhD in physics at the age of 17. Wow. So he became a doctor. And then by 19, at the age of 20, they had a brand new radar set kind of based on the Philadelphia experiments called the ANFS P-38, I believe it was. And it could fry an egg. It was at the farthest westernmost point in California off Point Reyes Coast. And he watched the UFOs coming in during the Cuban Missile Crisis and vectoring down at 15,000 miles an hour. He made a stink, became a whistleblower, and they basically set him up to look crazy. They gave him an honorable discharge, and he went to work for NASA. Let's repeat the story again. He goes into NASA. He sees a bunch of shoddy workmanship, which you can hear from Bill Tompkins, a famous contactee who came out, who helped the government build the secret space program. He wrote a book, Selected by Extraterrestrials. I had many conversations with him privately. I introduced him from my friend Frank Schilly to me. I handed him to Michael Sala, and he became quite a force of explanation of the secret technology that we possess. So anyway, I worked with Fred, and then he became at NASA. They were doing shoddy workmanship on the interior. He was working in the capsule, electrician, 20 years old. He knows his stuff. His great uncle invented the telephone, for God's sake. So the guy knows his stuff. And he complains all the way up the chain, and they say, shut up, kid, shut up, kid. He's walking down the hall with Brenda Von Braun. He goes, Mr. Brown, you are going to have a problem. There's shoddy workmanship going on, you know, under my watch there on the capsule. Who is this kid? A bell, I've heard about you. He just went on, was fired the next day. He filed suit with the ALCU. And a year and a half later, they said, oh, please, Fred Bell, come back and be in charge of all quality control electrically. And he said, no. But because of three men died on the Cape, right where he said, There's shoddy electronship. So he was a sharp whistleblower, and then he worked for JPL and Rockwell, and the extraterrestrial activity didn't stop then. And he also was studying under an Indian guru in San Francisco. So flash forward to me, Laguna Beach in the early 70s, I meet him. By 1979, I'm being taken out of his house in an astral journeys in a kind of a metaphysical contact experience, which is kind of a programmed esoteric leaving of the body. I would practice certain breathing exercises, and I would come up and I would set incense, and I would sit in the middle of these, it's like these, I have these pyramid systems that we build and make. I'll show them to you. We have a bunch of them.
But this is actually an audio program.
I can't see
a video, but it's going to be aired on a radio, internet radio.
Okay, I didn't have to shave. My goodness.
Well, eventually it'll be on YouTube.
So my website, folks can go there now if they want while they're listening here.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's the promise, promise. Revealed, revealed.net. Once again, the promise, promise@gmail.net. And then there is a section that says about me.
Wait a minute, at Gmail or just?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, the promise revealed at Gmail is my email.
Your email is thepromiserevealed@gmail.com.
No, gmail.com, right. I'm sorry. Thanks. And my website is .net.
Right.
So, I'm like a toddler with three thumbs on the internet, but I've managed to accumulate a lot of information there through my friend. And Fred Bell and I started having contacts with the Pleiadians, out of body and other. And then in 1982 and 84, I started having contact experiences with the Venusians, including in 2003 meeting Valiant Thor along with two women and another gentleman. And I met quite a few of them throughout the years, and those stories are fun and interesting. But I've always been seeking knowledge and truth, and from my experiences of witnessing craft and leaving Fred's house and having lights follow me down the hill, I was getting a little bit insistent on having more information. And then I think it was in 83 or 84, another famous contactee who I was studying under, named Gabriel Green, called me and told me there was the Ascended Master Hilarion was sending a teacher for me. And that was a whole experience, which culminated in a spaceship coming down and landing in front of me with three witnesses and me having a conversation. And so I didn't really get going on sharing the information in a public way until 2011 or 12 is when I really decided it was time to come out, and because there's so much misinformation and confusion.
And that's about how are we going forward, because we've been living in a world of deceit, corruption, greed, and there's so much hidden from us technologically that it's a crime. It's an amazing cheating of humanity to not give us these great technologies that have been so important, and we don't have them. And going forward, we're coming into wonderful revelations about these lost technologies. Or they're not lost. The government has been using them for a long time, but without our knowledge.
Absolutely.
And so you know a lot about all this.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know so much. I got to write my book. I've got like 5 books in my head already, but my experiences and the backstory to them. And, you know, most of my, Laguna Beach was a real hippie town. I mean, we had Rajneeshis and Hare Krishnas. Timothy Leary, the brother of Eternal Love, was arrested like, you know, 60 yards from my home. So it was a real kind of forward liberal type thinking town, and very open in terms of, spiritual. It's kind of like a beach paradise, beach blanket bingo, really. And this whole other side of understanding life and the universe, and kind of my place in it, became an obsession for me. And of course, when you have experiences with extraterrestrials, of course, it's, you go through an identification process of vetting and slowly learning step by step the spiritual and the multidimensional aspect of yourself, and what their mission is, and why they can't land openly, and all these things have to kind of be sorted and filtered. And really, it comes down to living in the now and being kind and patient with each other. You know, the technology is good, that will help, but we are a mess. We live in a world of scarcity and lack and fear. And absolutely, we have criminals that have been running this planet. And this is what is important for people to learn now, is what's called the apocalypse, or the revelation of the abomination of the fallen beings. The administration of this earth on a spiritual level was defaulted on, and we had a fall. So the earth was under kind of a, let's call it a Luciferian rebellion, where mankind was hybridized, and certain elite bloodlines kind of were aided in influencing humanity and bringing him down, and to bring out the lowest spiritual nature as opposed to the highest. And behind the scenes, the light forces have been working behind the scenes to influence the positive nature. Mankind is a combination of both divine and bestial thought forms. And this battle is raging within the human consciousness on a daily daily level. In the what's called the Bhagavad Gita, the interpretation by Paramahansa Yogananda, which is the best ever, you know, all respect to the Hare Krishna guy, Prabhupada, but Paramahansa Yogananda broke down the actual figures, the allegory, how this true story relates to mankind in choosing the spiritual side or the material side. And so the Venusians, you know, what do they want us to do? They want us to believe in ourselves. They want us to believe in the power of love of God and the focus on God, and choosing for God in the face of any alternative.
Right. That, the truth is within us.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
It's been disguised by these dark forces that have been running this planet for a long time. And we've been misled away from our actual inner truth.
Yeah, energy follows thought. And boy, have we been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led down a rosy path. And we're in a position now in a very fragile state where the shortcomings of our world is about to be revealed to us, as the various systems that are in violation of God's law now must come crumbling down, and we must build something new within our hearts, our minds, and our relationship to each other's, how we view each other. That's what really needs to take place. You know, the toys, the med beds, and all these different free energy devices are great. But if mankind is still filled with greed and lust for power and social strata and class and ego, instead of more in attune with what they call the law of allegiance. So in the law of allegiance, we recognize that we're all one children, one family under the living, loving God. And therefore we treat each other as such. And as the great avatar, Jesus Christ, and there's been many great avatars have taught us, you know, the kingdom is within, and greater things we shall do. And the bottom line is, if we do unto others as we would have done unto ourselves. Right. And when we look around and we see the lack of moral character, the absolute disruption of our earth and our ecosystem, our supply chains of poison that have been instituted for greed over health, the lack of support of nature and the poor people in the world that have been consistently stolen from. Oh my goodness, this whole system is a train crashing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a giant oil tanker. It's coming into the harbor and we are going to crash. But guess what? It's going to help us in the long run. This challenge will allow mankind to come together. After a hurricane, after a tornado, people come together, pull people out of the rubble, and the chosen or the survivors move on. But we have to realize how we got here. It's by giving our sovereignty away to a national government that has nothing but elite, you know, hybrid families that are feel entitled to steal and to pillage and to destroy, and to create wars against people over power and control. We have to stop participating in the illusion. You know, God bless the patriots who want to protect America, but you know, you got to have some use your own thinking and refuse the orders to kill people that are not attacking you. This is all designed to create farms of feeding of an energy system that lives on electrical frequency of humans. It's literally so deep that the average person is not going to be able to understand.
Yeah, there have been a lot of dark forces. And now we're coming to a time where many of them have been eliminated. And there's an increased consciousness coming to this planet that's going to really help people wake up and in a more enlightened state, really understand what's true.
I believe that absolutely. A lot of the heavy duty, as the Venusians call them, intruders or interlopers, have been removed. They were able to take over the planet 16,000 years ago before the last flood. There were a lot of battles going on. There were a lot of different extraterrestrial races and humans here. And genetics is actually kind of a coin of the realm. And I think most genetics people should be left alone to grow. But Earth was a particular place for biochemical testing. A lot of races had interest in the human genome, and they got a lot of greedy. And just because they're have higher technology and frequencies doesn't mean that they had the spiritual knowledge. And these people, literally, they do have Death Stars, and the battles were outrageous. So they agreed to have these councils, and whenever councils were called, everyone had to agree on it. They're still within those interdimensional areas, like in the sixth dimension. Everything there's kind of more of a material aspect to it. So the universe is so broad. We're just down here on this earth, and we're just you know, I'll just call ourselves little embryos in a development. At the same time, because of the influence and the position of Earth, we are kind of a genetic royalty with a lot of different races, and it's been considered very strong genetic line that will be able to transpose a lot of higher spiritual functions into flesh.
Right. So we have the potential for incredibly wonderful progress and a wonderful future. And so much is being cleared away so we can get to the heart of the matter.
If you have any questions, you know, you can ask me any questions about that.
Well, I mean, it's endless, the amount of questions, because it's, you know, there's so much history of so much that has been disguised. And even recently, we've been through a lot of you know, disguised science, disguised medicine, all kinds of tricks to fool us. And it's all falling apart. And now, you know, because truth finds its way, evil ends up destroying itself. It just takes time. And now we're at a time where the light is really coming through.
That's a good way to put it. I think we're going through the galactic plane, where we're on a level with a what they call the galactic central sun, which is really a black hole and an event horizon that produces light. Like, the galaxy is like 100,000 miles across, and we have about 25,000 light years to the center, and then 50,000 across is the black hole and the event horizon, and then you have another 25,000 light years on the other side. So it's a big
So you're speaking as somebody who has Venusian experience.
I get a lot of information from them on, like, tachyon particles, and they do answer stuff. They want more investigation on the aura, my pyramid systems, in conjunction with, of course, sound, light, color, frequency. These are the healing things. It's not going to be, you know, the nutrition is good too, but you need the electrical precursive field. Right. It has to be fed. So you do need the material aspects. You need a proper functioning bioelectrical system. And by the higher self of the chakras, the spiritual nature that indwells the physical body, knowledge of that, of those cycles, which can be tuned in from a soul level, can supersede some of the entropic physical limitations. So they have a technology that they use to extend their lifespan.
Okay, and we'll have ours extended.
It's coming. We'll see. You know, everything on the physical plane has to deteriorate and die. There, you know, you look at even Jesus Christ, who was resurrecting people at the age of 7. You know, he did pass away and die. That he took a drink and died in France is nonsense. He did have a twin brother. His name was Thomas Didymus, and he went to India. Jesus went there before. And then after he was resurrected, it was still Passover. And he appears to his twin brother in the marketplace. He goes, "Oh, hi, master. How are you?" He's already seen him. He's already been, you know, appearing.
Now, there are a lot of wonderful stories about what happened to his later life and where he was.
He walked the Americas. He went in a spaceship and he landed. He was he was Kukul Khan in Tulum. He was Quetzalcoatl in Mexico. Oh. He was Tacoma in Seattle. Wow. And so he traveled the world. He even went inside the earth and did a lot of stuff to the fallen beings there. He was a pretty powerful guy after he resurrected. So there is a mission and a plan to establish certain teachings. And as the frequencies of the earth now and the light is activating our DNA, Peter. So what you said is more light. Light is knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Right. Light is.
That's
light,
why they hide the knowledge.
Light is all about information. And so it's so wonderful to talk with you. And, you know, it's enlightening. And I think our audience, a lot of what you said is new to the audience. And it's like, what? What did he say? And so we, you know, it's an education because there's so much that has been hidden from us by forces that really want us to be ignorant. And now, you know, in the future, we're going to be awakened about things that we never could understand before and might have even trouble grasping because it's so different than what we've been attuned to. But we're getting near the end of the show, and it's this has been a great time. Thank you so much. It's so much fun hearing,
yeah, my hearing
about you and what you know.
I think people should know that you know, there is a great big, bright, beautiful future. The good guys are winning behind the scenes, and you know, we're not alone, never have been, never will be alone. God would be called the isness, always is, was, and will be. The pure creative essence force, it's not a being, you know, it's reflected in the grand central sun, which is our central galactic sun, to all the suns in ours, and then to the sun within us, the pineal gland, the seven spirits, and this whole frequency thing, as above, so below, is reality. And we, in fact, are the Christ, our God in manifestation. And as we step into that,
right, we can be that. That's wonderful. Yeah. And so this has been terrific. And let's tell everybody how to reach you again.
ThePromiseRevealed.net. And then I have a summer conference this year. I'm having a woman from Venus who's 200 years old, who's come out of retirement three times for me. It's coming. Great. You can read my website. On my website, thepromiserevealed.net, you can see my YouTube channel. I've just done interviews with Alex Collier, Tony Rodriguez, Victoria Lilgenquist, Ismael Perez, my friend Raymond Keller, and a lot of different people. I'm pumping out some information here. And it's time for people to let go of all their judgment, hatred, bigotry, and to see God in everyone and treat each other as such. And thank you for having me on. And I'm also going to be in England in August. I'm doing a book signing with my friend Raymond Keller on the Gospel of Thomas that my friend wrote. And then we're going to be speaking in Glastonbury there. It's going to be a great time. And the Mount Shasta Summer Conference, if it's not too late, folks, look it up and grab a ticket.
Yeah, your website has all the information they need, right?
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, Peter, let's
talk. All right, Rob, this is so great. I'm so happy that we could talk. You're wonderful, and I'm so glad we could do this.
Thank you so much, my brother. God bless you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. And love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening.